WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are just...
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a free sub available, we can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little button down the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
He sits here trying to figure out why there's an audio tab on here called Fortnite Audio, and I'm going, why? And then I realized I changed it to something else that's not actually Fortnite Audio. So, because I just grabbed the source to make it work. So,
got
I,
it.
Hold on.
I need to hit a button, so hit the plug.
Chat, do you have Amazon Prime? Link to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming, it's not Twitch Prime, it's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can subscribe for free that way, or just click it because you want to, like someone else is about to do in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. No?
No, I hit the button.
You didn't share. There we go.
Oh, I have hit that button.
Lindsay Ward just subscribed with Prime.
So you have to hit share. You can resub, and then you have to share, and then it goes through 6-7 month streak.
6-7 Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Please continue. I didn't want to interrupt you. So it's all, like...
I mean, you could have interrupted me. I was just making stuff up. Tweet us at WildTalkRadio, WildTalkRadio.com, or twitch.tv/WildTalkRadio to interact with us live here tonight because we're here. It's a Thursday. We're back.
I take 1 week off. 1 week off.
1 week
and the world
off.
Of wrestling implodes. Like, what the hell?
Implodes. All the things. It's just... We got plenty of news to get into, because there's a lot of things to talk about.
We're talking backlash.
All the things.
All the things. So let's get into it. So let's talk about the announcement that is probably coming at Backlash that John Cena is going to announce. But, like, you know, let's just talk about it here, because WWE has announced the launch of Club WWE, the ultimate insider membership program designed to bring fans closer to WWE than ever before through exclusive access, rewards, and experience. Club WWE will serve as a dedicated destination for fans, offering a wide host of benefits across ticketing, merchandise, community, and content. And best of all, it will be all in one place. Fans interested in becoming a founding member can join the wait list now by visiting www.com/clubwwe. For your annual membership fee, which, by the way, exactly how much is the annual membership fee? Well, they don't tell you.
They don't. John Cena might tell us on Saturday.
John Cena might tell us on Saturday, but for an annual fee, members will unlock a range of premium benefits, including an exclusive 24-hour ticket presale access to all events around the world and tailored perks at featured events, including superstar meet and greets, hospitality opportunities, and entrances. I mean, it's not a pasta-making class, but, you know, it is what it is. Members only shop featuring exclusive collections and early access to merchandise drops like John Cena's upcoming Never Seen 17 collection. Maybe that's what he's announcing. Bonus content featuring inside scoops, extended cuts, behind-the-scenes footage, and more. A dedicated members-only community forum connecting fans around the world like never before.
What? Message boards are back in 2026. What? Is this 2000s again, when the message boards were a thing?
Reddit's making a comeback, y'all.
It's making a comeback. Come on. Can't wait to sign up for a message board and reply to forum posts. Come on now.
I mean, like, if you think about it, social media is trash. So it makes sense that forums are coming back.
Oh, the forums were
the good old days. Forum days. Oh, how I miss those.
That's how we met.
That's how we met. That's how we know each other, is through a forum. Back in ye old early days, the interwebs.
The early day interwebs. Oh my god. Anyway, continue on.
We're old. We're so fucking old. Anyway, points-based reward system allowing fans to earn credits to redeem against digital and physical goods.
Ooh,
and a premium
credits.
Welcome pack. Huh?
Ooh, credits.
Credits. Free money, y'all. And, of course, a premium welcome pack for founding members. You get swag. Our fans are the heartbeat of WWE, and everything we do begins with them, 17-time world champion John Cena said. Club WWE, there we go, is about bringing that connection to life in a bigger way through exclusive access, unique experiences, and a true sense of community. It's a premium destination built to reward passion and give our most dedicated fans a meaningful way to engage with WWE year-round. More details to come, but if you want further information or you would like to, you know, join the waitlist, again, it is www.com/clubwwe.
Question. Why isn't it just clubwwe.com?
Because they're too fucking cheap to buy the URL.
Hold on. Let's go to the browser. Clubwwe.com.
Somebody bought it, I bet.
It's thinking about trying to find it, which is not a good thing. So, okay.
I promise you, because this has been a rumor for a while that this is coming. I think it's really brave to launch something like this in this economy. Like, holy shit.
They announced this the week before WrestleMania that it was coming, when everyone was complaining about the prices. And then, also, server not found for clubwwe.com. So someone owns it.
They probably did. And honestly, when it launches, it may be on clubwwe.com.
Yeah, it probably is. They're not stupid. Yeah, it's owned by WWE, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure they own the URL.
They bought it on March 17th.
Yeah. So it's they're gonna launch on that. But to do the sign up, they're gonna direct everything through a landing page, which makes sense.
Makes sense. But I gotta get the right wording. Continue.
So you do?
I have to get the right wording. Where is it? I love when I type in John Cena, it doesn't take me to his Twitter page. It takes me to everyone else talking about John Cena.
Of course.
But it's going to be... I'm so excited to break some history-making news. And it's going to shake the foundation of WWE. It was shocked the very foundation of WWE. And it becomes Club WWE. As I said in our group chat, that's probably going to let down a lot of people. But that's what it's going to be.
I mean, didn't AEW do this? And didn't people, like, mock the shit out of them for it?
No. They have not done this. They did the AEW streaming service.
Okay. All right. Wait, didn't TNA then? I feel like this is not a new concept in wrestling.
This is not a new concept. TNA may have done something like this, but this is WWE. This is the grand scale. This is you get first class VIP access to Club WWE. You can get the shirt. You can have a badge. You can probably get a sticker. This is when you're giving out pre-sale codes on the internet for free, charging people to get pre-sale access to ticket events, you're gonna alienate some folks. Cena says there's gonna be behind the scenes content, and he has stuff planned. They're making him the face of Club WWE, so they're gonna rely on his fan base, the ones you cannot see anymore, to push this. And maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. Maybe he gives you videos of being on the set, and it's something different. I don't know. But hopefully this is not the announcement on Saturday. But it probably is, so be ready.
I wouldn't be surprised if that is the announcement, but he's going to do, like, something additional, I guess, or I don't know. Like, I think what it's going to be is it's like, hey, Club WWE is getting ready to launch, and we're launching with my brand new fashion collection or my brand new merch collection. You know, and here's the sneak peek at it, and you can only get, like, the first, like, the exclusive whatever through this. So go spend probably north of $100. I'm going to say this is probably going to be, like, $120 to $150, somewhere in there, because we know it's not going to be cheap.
Yeah,
annual. And so, like, go spend $100 to $150 on an annual membership to get a fucking t-shirt. That's what this is going to be. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it beyond I'm a little disgusted by it, if you want me to be perfectly honest. Like, I think, I know there are people that will see value in it. I know there are people that are going to be excited about it. And if they want to spend their money on it, go ahead. You do you. I find it rather disgusting that they are going to charge for this shit, right? Because, like, the benefits for what you're paying for, like, okay, great. You get exclusive 24-hour ticket presale access to WWE events around the world. So unless you're willing to pay the money to travel, that's only good for when they're in your area or when they're in your region. A shop access feature, how much are you spending in WWE shop? I really want to know how, like, to justify the cost of this. Bonus content, that might be worth it, but might not, depending on what it is. The community forum, honestly, they could do for free. That's bullshit that they're charging for it. A point-based reward system, again, that's bullshit. They don't have to charge for that, but they're going to charge for that. And then, like, the swag for being a founding member that goes away after, you know, the founding members are settled. So, like, really, it stops at the reward system. There is no benefit in this that justifies the cost. I'm sorry. All of this is shit that technically could be given away for free.
So, as an Xfinity member for a long time. I'm a Diamond member. You get access to advanced movie screenings, chances to win VIP experiences, exclusive access to merch, first access to gaming betas, sneak peek at upcoming limited edition perks, exclusive Universal Park experiences, VIP advanced screenings are your exclusives that you get for being a Diamond member, which is also, you don't pay anything more, but you also get $1 movie rentals and an annual Diamond member gift. And rotating weekly treats. I don't pay. I pay for my cable, and I get that stuff. I don't need to pay for a Club WWE membership that no one's ever going to use, unless you're the guys who sit front row at all the big events. Then it's worth it. The average fan is not. If you are the front row guys, you have the money to spend it.
Beyond if you're that, the front row guys that you're paying $5 to $10K a pop for those seats, you're on a different list.
Yeah, but my point is, those are the people who will pay it. No one with paying for Netflix, paying for ESPN, paying for Peacock, paying for Apple, no one's going to add this as an extra expense. Mm-mm. This 5 years ago, great. Before everything took off and raised prices, this would have been perfect. Especially in the pandemic, mm-hmm. you would have got a lot of people, right? Because this is a community, you build a community during it because you have nothing else to do. So people would spend and buy stuff. Now when everything's going up, 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 up,
yeah.
your fan base who continues to sell at your building only has so much. And guess what? Everyone still keeps paying. So we're just sitting here talking about like, oh, no one's going to pay for it. Everyone's going to pay for it because people like things. People like being in exclusive clubs and stuff. I don't know.
The biggest reward you could give for this, honestly, instead of the pre-sale, is you get an exclusive code that gives you 15 or 20% off tickets at a certain price.
Yeah, you get the cheap price of the tickets. Yeah.
That would make this worth it to pay $100 to $150 potentially to, especially for people that are going more frequently or want to go to the bigger shows. Or like you get a special discount code for WrestleMania, or you get a special WrestleMania package at like basically you offer a discount, you offer money back. Like that's the whole point in this is you offer that to people that like, hey, you know, you're going to give us money, but we're going to give you an investment back in that. Like there is no investment in this. It's just a money grab. It's a literal money grab. Like the very least you could do in this is, hey, we'll do like quarterly digital superstar meet and greets where you can sign up and you can hang out with a superstar like Rhea Ripley mm-hmm. for like a moderated group chat. And you sit there for 45 minutes and you hang out and you're able to like be in an exclusive chat with like a superstar for whatever amount of time. And it's quarterly, right? Because that's something that like the typical superstar experiences, I think, honestly, are what, north of
monthly.
You could do, I was thinking monthly might be a bit aggressive, but like, yeah, you could do it monthly.
You make a tier where it's monthly. It's their OnlyFans.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
But like, you have to give people a benefit, and that's not what they're doing with this. I mean, it's like what they're offering is okay, but it's like, you could do better. I know you could do better. That's the thing. Everything in this, it's like, this is basic. This is
everything on Twitter already, except for like the point thing.
Yeah. Like this is, I don't know who came up with this, but I mean, y'all tried and claps for trying, but like y'all need to do better. You need, like, if you're going to be taking monies like this, y'all need to do better. Because yeah, like this is actually kind of insulting. And I don't mean to sit here and bash it, but like, especially since people are worried about cost and money and prices and, you know, we're seeing what we're seeing going on right now. Like this is just one more thing that they essentially expect you to pay for, and they're not giving you any benefit. They're just going to fuck you on it. And I'm a little tired of companies doing that, if you want me to be completely honest. Like I am tired of people expecting you to give them money and they're going to give you less service than before or at all.
Yep. That's so, where we are in 2026.
Yeah. But yeah, so if you sign up, go to www.com/club WWE, give them your information and they will hit you up for money later. So yeah, moving on, WWE announced that SmackDown will head to London's O2 Arena on Tuesday, June 23rd. It will be the night after Raw emanates from the same venue. Additionally, Sheffield will host a live event as part of WWE's upcoming European summer tour on Wednesday, June 24th. That's fucking perfect. I love that for me because I will just be back from Vegas, so yay.
Yay!
Yay! So yeah, so go, tickets should be on sale soon, so go get your tickets. This next one's interesting.
Do the one above it. You skipped one. Go one above the London.
Oh, that's an article.
It's an article.
I'm sorry. It looked like, I thought it was a continuation of the other URL.
No, it's
okay. WWE announced that they will be returning to South America this September when superstars from Monday Night Raw will descend into Quito, Ecuador on Wednesday, September 9th, Bogota, Colombia on September 10th, Buenos Aires on September 11th, and Santiago, Chile on September 12th. This marks WWE's first event in Ecuador in 10 years and the first time WWE returns to Colombia, Argentina, and Chile in 7 years. Fans interested in exclusive pre-sale opportunities for South America can now register by visiting WWE.com. Multiple W's are hard, so like, deal with it. / South American Tour. So fans in attendance can see Stephanie Vaquer, because of course she's going, Penta, Seth freaking Rollins, Becky Lynch, The Usos, The original El Grande Americano, Gunter, Obafemi, and many more.
So the Chile event, which the tickets are on sale now, that's how old we're at this point, sold out.
Yeah, this is April 14th.
The Chile event sold out in 15 minutes.
Good for them.
So now the next one's going to be interesting. So they're doing this whole London. They're overseas all June for most part. They come back for 1 week. They're in like Baltimore on the 15th or 16th, whatever that Monday is. And then they go back to go to London. And then they added some extra dates, as we've seen. They've added a couple extra dates in different places as well. But now, to close off this long European summer tour, which technically isn't in summer yet, but they have one more event.
So Night of Champions has been announced for Riyadh, Saudi Arabia on Saturday, June 27th, 2026. That's a choice. I would love to know the promise of security on that one, just with all of the things going on over there and the fact that it's very likely it will still be going on when they go over. I want to know, like, what level of security they're going to have at that event. Like, what promises have been made to protect them, essentially. Yes, it will also be fucking hot because it's June in Saudi Arabia. But, like, the area is also very hot in another way. And I think Riyadh has actually been hit.
They're going situation pending.
It has to be.
That's the best way to put it. They're going situation pending.
I'm genuinely surprised that they're going at all right now.
They come back and they're going to be in Atlantic City on the 29th to take Raw and SmackDown.
Really?
So you go from Saudi to Atlantic City.
It'll be interesting. So keep your eyes peeled on that one.
More beach weather.
More beach weather.
So
at least it'll be slightly cooler.
Yes.
Because I think June in Jersey isn't too bad.
Yeah, it's not too bad. In the 80s, 90s is not too bad. But yeah, they announced like a bunch of more dates today, including they're taping Raw and SmackDown because the 4th is a Friday, I believe. Is it? I think.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
It No, it's not. But
July 4th?
Yeah, it's a Saturday. But they're not going to be live on the 3rd.
On the 3rd. Ooh, the 4th. Oh, yeah. Wait, do I get that Friday off? I need to check.
Maybe.
That would be nice. 3-day weekend. Woo! Yeah, that's going to be an interesting ride. So yeah, we'll keep an eye on that one. We'll see how that goes. I'm going to skip this next one and we'll do that one at the end before we transition. So WWE did do some signings, which we all saw at WrestleMania and beyond. So some of these are a little bit old and some of them are new. So Paige has re-signed with the company. She's back. She re-debuted back at WrestleMania, so congratulations to her. Evil from Japan has signed with WWE. He turned up in NXT, so congratulations.
He makes his in-ring debut next Tuesday.
So get that bag, sir. Get that bag. Congratulations. Triple H has signed a new multi-year deal to stay on as the chief content officer, which I find that interesting. These two are interesting. These next two. Like, Triple H had to sign a multi-year deal to stay the content officer. And then Nick Khan has also signed a new deal to remain WWE president. Didn't realize they had to do that, which I'm curious about.
I mean, they always have, in the corporate structure, signed new deals.
Unique to them. Because, like, I don't know any other corporate company that does that.
What, signing contracts?
For people to stay on in their jobs, yeah. Like, our president doesn't do that. Unless there's, like, a merger or an acquisition, they don't do that, typically, I don't think.
I mean, you hear it in sports all the time. They sign deals like that for corporate, I don't know, corporate things. But yeah, because it only came out because they had the filings, the yearly filings that came out. So that we saw how much it made or whatever. That's why it came out. Hunter's, I think, is a 3-year deal. And Khan's is a 5-year deal. And his goes, has escalated. He gets 2 million base this year and then 3 million base starting next year. So
there you go.
So yeah, but it's corporate stuff. It's especially because they're coming over from what was WWE contracts to TKO full contracts, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, they're moving everybody over. Let me just fail at that job for 1 year. Like just 1 year. Just let me fail at that job for 1 year.
Half the year.
And you will never see my ass again. I promise you.
I'll take half a year.
Like
give me half the money and we're fine.
$2 million for a year to fail, I can do that.
That's 2 million base. That's the base money.
I know that's the base money. I can take the base money, but I'll take the bonuses too. Like, even if I fail, you know there's a golden parachute in that fucking contract.
I think he got 67.
It's probably a sweet one.
He got 67 million on bonuses or something.
God. Well, between like stock options and everything else, yeah.
Yeah. So.
There's, like I said, just a year. Just let me fail for a year and it'll be fine. WWE also signed Hunter Shelby, who has 3 Emmy Award nominations to his name. He's announced he's joined the company as the new director of show production and design. So congratulations to him.
Very nice.
Moving on, for NXT, the CW network has acquired the exclusive broadcast rights to NXT's premium live events in a multi-year deal. The CW Network and WWE, part of TK Holdings, announced today that the NXT Premium Live events will now air exclusively on the CW, so no more YouTube. This will begin with the Great American Bash late this summer. The CW will broadcast 20 PLEs in their entirety live on both coasts over the next several years, including Stand and Deliver, Deadline, and Vengeance Day. With the addition of the PLEs to the CW lineup, the network is now the exclusive home for all NXT programming, which showcases WWE's hottest up-and-coming superstars, and also airing weekly live NXT installments every Tuesday night. WWE will continue to produce all the PLEs.
So, exclusive is kind of a broad term. As she clicks the... As you click the next story...
I like that. It's broad.
It's a broad term.
Oh, hey, look at this. The CW Network and ESPN team up to stream more than 800 hours of live events from CW Sports on the ESPN app. Oh my God, I'm shocked. Anyway, CW Sports events will exclusively stream live within the ESPN app for all ESPN Unlimited plan subscribers. Why didn't they just put the fucking thing on ESPN? Anyway, groundbreaking agreement combines college football, basketball from the ACC, Pac-12, Mountain West Conferences, NASCAR, O'Reilly, Auto Parts Series, WWE, NXT, PBA Bowling, PBR Bull Riding, and AVP Volleyball. This expands ESPN's industry-leading streaming offer with even more year-round content programming.
Basic.
This is expected to launch in summer of 2026.
So they acquired all like the CW's on-demand content is now on ESPN. So ESPN Unlimited has more sports to show that they didn't have the rights to. So now they're going to drive customers to that service. So there's a streaming element to it. So while CW held the rights to WWE's NXT, it now shares its streaming capabilities on the ESPN app. When it comes to the ESPN app, I believe... I click the third story. We'll see if this one has the details. If not, I have other details.
Okay. So the CW has set novel streaming partnerships with ESPN and Roku, expanding its programming footprint in exchange for access to entertainment, fare, and live sports. Under the deals, the broadcast network will make its 800 hours of annual sports programming available on ESPN's app and also put its entertainment titles on the Roku channel the day after the linear premiere. The free ad-supported CW app, long a key strategic pillar for the broadcast network, will continue to offer next-day streams of entertainment titles as they simultaneously roll out across the Roku channel.
So,
let's see.
So, that's pretty much enough of that one. What did you catch?
Nextstar acquired 75% of CW back in 2022, a majority stake that has recently grown to 81%. Paramount, Warner Brothers, Discovery share the remaining minority portion. With the ownership share has come a concerted shift away from the young, skewing, hour-long dramas that once defined the network, you bastards, toward a large range of live sports. One element of the transformation has been upfront. While the former CBS Warner joint venture used to line up alongside its competitors and deliver a full-on theatrical event, often with A-list musical talent, the CW now opts for smaller-scale pitch buyers, but not press.
Okay, so what all this boils down to? CW, with so WWE lost Peacock for NXT, the premier live events. So they were looking for a partner, which is why the last one aired on YouTube. Stand Deliver was on YouTube back in April. With that deal, they had to find a new home. So they now went back to CW. CW, they're doing great numbers for CW. one of the highest rated shows, probably top two, three highest rated shows on the CW, and it's great for their sports programming lineup.
Mm-hmm.
So they got the right, CW got the rights to the PLEs for over on the network, but you still need a streaming element, which is why there's on the ESPN app. So when it's on the ESPN app through the ESPN Unlimited plan, which comes with your cable provider, or you pay $30, whatever it is, the on-demand version of the PLE will only last 30 days on the ESPN app because they're not the rights holder to it. They're just streaming the content. All the archive content will be available on the CW app after 30 days. I mean, it'll be there right away, but after 30 days, it'll all be on that app.
Hmm.
Which makes sense.
It does make sense, yeah.
But that's this. But one, this is NXT programming, the premium live events, the three-hour events. We'll get primetime television on a Saturday night on network television. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
So
I mean, I can't complain about it. Like, the only thing I'm really kind of upset about is the fact that, you know, we're losing NXT events on YouTube, which I was like, yay, they're kind of free.
I mean, you only got one.
I got one. I'll take more, though. Like, I won't complain about more.
I mean, if it's on the regular network television, that's still fine.
It's still fine, but, like, you know, it is what it is. YouTube is so much more convenient.
And finally for WWE.
The sad news for WWE. Some of these are fairly shocking, but fairly not shocking at the same time. In the depressing WrestleMania tradition, we did have post-Mania cuts this year and for talent. And some of these names. So we're going to start off with the top. Kairi Sane, Aleister Black, Zelina, the entirety of the Wyatt Six, Santos Escobar, Motor City Machine Guns, Apollo Crews, Andre Chase, Zoe Stark, Alba Fire, Tyra Mae Steele, Serena Linton, Tyson, Tyrick, Chris Island, Malik Blade, Trill London, Luca Crucifino, who just like basically said, fuck it, I'm done, Carly Bright, The New Day, who were a mutual parting of the ways, Tonga Loa, and JC Mateo.
So, it's a lot of names.
It is a lot of names.
And apparently we might be done for now. And
yay.
This, and every year, who made the cut? Whose decision was it? At the end of the day, the corporate side of WWE TKO says, hey, we're cutting your budget for talent. So, get rid of people. This was TKO's mandate to do it, like it was Vince McMahon's mandate and his corporate partners for years. If you're gonna save on payroll because your company is in $4 billion debt, you ask some people to take a pay cut, like the New Day, who said no. Other members of the roster said yes. New Day were making millions per year, millions with an S, because they signed a new deal last year. Some said no, a lot said yes, and that's why they're still on the roster. And when you're bringing up people, you need to make room on the roster for spots because everyone can't be on television, which is what we say every year when they cut people, because it's the truth. But everyone's shocked when it happens. How dare they do this? How dare WWE cut payroll? There's some names that are still on the roster that go, huh, I'm surprised they're still there. Others, like Apollo Crews, I'm not shocked that got cut. I'm not shocked Andre Chase got cut. Motor City Machine Guns was an interesting one, but again, not shocking because they've been there almost 2 years and they kind of never fit the WWE style. They're great wrestlers, but Alex Shelley has other career aspirations and such. And I don't know. They got their WWE run. They were champs for a while, but beyond that, it was just a run. Santos Escobar, they re-signed him and went, and then he got injured again, and then they let him go because I think at the end of the day, he didn't want to be there anymore, and so just let him go be him.
Yeah.
Tyra Mae Steele from NXT, she was the Olympic gold medalist. She just didn't make it. She won LFG, but she didn't show signs of improvement. And a bunch of the other guys. Tonga Loa, whatever. JC Mateo, he got a year. But Jeff Cobb, as he's known internationally, he'll go back to Japan and be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Going to break it to you. Some guys are better in New Japan. He's one of them. Every time he came to AEW, he never became the star people had hoped here in the States. Zoe Stark, she's been injured more than in her career than she's been healthy, which is unfortunate.
I think for Zoe, the only thing is she was coming off injury, and that just sucks.
It does. But I'll say this: she was healthy.
Yeah, they didn't let her go. They learned that lesson. Not let her go while she's injured.
But hopefully she gets a chance to show proof for herself out there. But if you're injured, it's the Tegan Knox things. If you're injured more than you're healthy, their investment is kind of like, I don't know if we should invest them, especially for the girls. Say this: there's so many. NXT is full of girls. So if you're not proving to stay healthy, they have 50 others who can take your spot.
Exactly, and that's,
That's the problem for Zoe Stark. She's talented in the ring, but her health is concerned, so they have so many others that can take the spot. Kyrie is... that's an unfortunate cut, because you never got the payoff.
Well, I heard a rumor she might be coming back.
Yeah, she may come... Because technically, all these people are still employed by WWE for 90 days, or 30 days. So they can still use her if they choose to, and she may come back on Sunday or on Saturday to finish the story.
It's just Kyrie was a weird one because she was in an active storyline. Like, that's the kind of thing that you sit there and you're like, what? Like, she was in an active storyline, and typically they don't do that unless there's other circumstances involved. So that one was a head scratcher. It's like, huh, okay, interesting.
To play devil's advocate on that one, okay, so they finish the story with her and Asuka.
Mm-hmm.
Then what?
And then you find her something else to do.
But I think that was their thinking, and maybe she had plans to want to go back home. And what, like, you know what I mean? Like when it ended, who knows?
Yeah, we don't know. It's like she. I don't think she's. I think it's been confirmed that it wasn't a requested. Like she. No,
none of it was requested. But who knows what her plan 6 months to a year from now was? And it's like, if we're looking long term, what are we, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I can see what their thinking is. Alistair and Zelina, they're apparently very mad at Sean Rossap for mentioning the release. Mm-hmm. before they could put out an announcement. Okay. Alistair Black lasted 1 year with WWE in his return. It's, you know, the best return, but, you know, a terrible return. Zelina's been there a while. They could probably do a great pairing and have creative freedom on the indie scene and work well together.
Mm-hmm.
Get the GCW deal and show up every few weeks. And if they go back to AEW, then so be it. And then,
I don't know if AEW will take them back.
The rumor today they've been talking, but everyone denies it. But there was a rumor that was put out. So who knows? Every bridge can be rebuilt.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the Wyatts.
I just know that, like, the White or the Alistair was not very popular in the AEW locker room.
With some, but who knows. And then there's the Wyatts. It sucks, but I think you told all the story you could tell with how you saw the talent in the group, which I talked about originally when they debuted. It's, I hope they have a plan for the group long term. And then there was creative shifts with them. People got injured. But as a group, the act was over. Until the bell rang. Promos were great. The look was fantastic. The bell rang.
Oh, yeah.
And there were some questions. They had a run as tag champs. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
But there was never that. You look at who was the lead. You see how guys are positioned. And mm-hmm. because you're never. But they never clicked with the audience for the ring work. I'd say they were bad in the ring. The audience never clicked with them. And that became the issue.
There had been a long rumor discussion about doing a group like this with Bray. And I always had my reservations with it because, like, while it's really cool in theory and it's really cool in presentation, it's hard to pull off in practice, right? And it's hard to pull off when the lights come up and you actually have to wrestle. And don't get me wrong, I love the Wyatt Six. I thought, like, the presentation of the group, the design of the group, everything about that side of it was, like, top tier, no notes. They did a wonderful job with that, especially as a tribute to Bray after his death. Like, that was really well done. The problem is that, like, where do you go after it's a tribute act. And I don't think they could ever get beyond that, because the biggest problem was they debuted the group. It was really hot. Everybody was into it. And then they took the group off of air for like multiple months, and they lost all the momentum they had. And I don't know who got hurt. I don't think we ever found out. I don't know if we will ever find out who got hurt. I'm assuming it was Bo. Like, that's the only thing I can figure, because my whole thing was like, with that, depending on who got hurt and what the injury really was, because we don't know what it was, that you could have still had the group on TV, and you could have had like Bo, if it was him, cutting promos backstage or guiding the group from afar, and then he turns up when he needs to and that kind of thing, like if that's how they were going to do it. But they took the group off TV and they just kind of lost all momentum. They lost their place in the stories. They kind of lost everything. And then by the time they brought them back, it's like, oh yay, it's the Wyatt Six. And the aura had faded. Like, they were really, really good on the timing of the group, but by the time like they tried to really do anything with them, the moment was gone. It's like, yes, we all love Bray. We all miss Bray. We will all always feel like that. But there's a time and a place for that kind of thing, and they hit it, and then they just kind of drop the ball due to reasons beyond everybody's control. And that's not anybody's fault. It's just they were kind of forced to let go of the ball. And when they went to pick it up again, it just wasn't the same. So it's like they could never recapture that magic, I feel like, with the Wyatt Six. And then they were never able to evolve it beyond the tribute act. And that was the other problem, was it's like, yes, it's really cool. It's all about Bray Wyatt. It's all about celebrating Bray Wyatt's legacy, which should absolutely be celebrated. But there was never anything beyond that. There was never anything deeper than that. And that was the problem with the group. When the lights came up, they looked goofy as hell.
To put it bluntly, it was a main event act with a mid-card lead.
I thought, like, here's my thing. I don't buy that. I think if they really gave him a chance, he could prove himself. But the problem is they will never give him that chance, because they don't see him as anything more than that.
That's the point. They didn't see him beyond the mid-card lead. There's nothing wrong with that, but it was a main event idea with a mid-card lead, and you were not going to get the main eventers to fall to the Wyatts.
I think
that was part of the problem, because you had a great idea, but you didn't. The main eventers weren't going to put it over.
No, they never were going to do that. But yeah, it's like, I'm sad that they're gone, and I'm sad that the group is over. But at the same time, it's kind of like everything has its time and its place, and I'm happy that we were able to do that for Bray and celebrate that for Bray. It just kind of sucks. Right? Because it was Bray's brother, right? Like, that's what sucks. So when they go to put him in the Hall of Fame, that's gonna be awkward as fuck.
I mean, but like, they fired Bray's father multiple times, so
yeah, they fired the family multiple times, but like, it's just, yeah, I raised an eyebrow at it, because I was like, well, they're still kind of, I guess they're done capitalizing on that. And maybe they thought they made all the money on it. Maybe they figured it wasn't going anywhere, and they didn't package them, because that's the other thing, is like, after you do something like that, how do you split that group up? How do you repackage people? That, like, every single person in that group, that is a minimum of a year reinvestment into that performer to repackage them into a new character, because you have to take all of them off TV. You have to change their looks. You have to come up with a whole new story. You have to explain what happened to the Wyatt Six. Basically, they all went and got therapy. They're all better now. Everybody's hunky-dory happy. And we're all moving on with our lives. That's a year.
And
for what, five people?
Yeah. You weren't going to do that.
They're not going to do that.
So my gut tells me that Bo and Rowan were probably brought in under a two-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 years is coming up.
It makes sense.
Like, that's my feeling on it. They probably came in on a 2-3 year deal, and it's like, well, what do we see for a year from now? Like, you look at a year from now. Okay, we just wrap up the thing with the MFTs, and we're getting rid of half of them anyhow. What do you do with the Wyatts next? And you go,
I don't know.
I don't know. And when you go, I don't know, you're out of a job.
Yeah, if they can't come up with any, because that was the other side of it, is like, there's no, outside of the Bloodline, or whatever they're called now, there's really no large groups like that in WWE to be able to support a feud with the Wyatt Six. They don't have a faction like that that can do a 5-person or essentially 10-person feud. It's just, yeah, it's they had it. Cross's group. They got rid of that. They had the MFTs. They got rid of that. So, like, you don't really have anybody, especially on SmackDown, that could support it. If the Vision was still the Vision, you might be able to do the Vision versus the Wyatt Six. But again, it's kind of one
Paul,
of those.
They're not going to sell for the Wyatt
Six. They're not going to put that over. So, like, it's definitely a challenge. I'm sad to see them go. I hope they all land on their feet. I'm pretty sure at least Dexter Samuel Shaw is going to land on his feet. He's already reunited with Indy.
And Joe Gacy will find work. He'll be fine.
Joe Gacy will probably go back to TNA because I think that's where he came from.
We'll go so... MLW, I think, maybe. He'll go there. He'll be fine. If Rowan wants to work some more, he'll work. If Bo wants to work, he can find it somewhere. And Nikki has a degree, and she'll be fine.
Nikki was, I think, no offense to everybody else, but Nikki was honestly the smartest one because she got a master's degree while she worked for WWE.
And Bo has a side gig. Wasn't he a realtor or learning realtor stuff?
Bo's mom is a realtor.
Yeah, and I think
was his sister, but I don't know about him.
I think he had some active role or something. I don't know. Doesn't matter. They'll be fine.
He's very private, so I don't know. Like, he's not really active on social a lot. So I don't really know what he does, which is fine. That certainly is right. Like, he could have made his money and he could just, like, in the last 2 years and just go home and live a quiet life in Florida and, you know, do what he wants to do, whether that's sell houses or be a local celebrity or whatever.
You show up all the wrestling conventions and you sign your merch.
I mean, yeah, that's going to be the biggest thing is that, yeah, you hit the convention circuit straight out of the gate. And honestly, do it as a group. Do it together. Do it as the Wyatt Six, because I'm sure they have the costumes. So if you're gonna do it now. Same thing for Black and Zelina. Like, they'll be fine. They could hit the convention circuit and do the Comic-Con, because Zelina could actually do the con circuit.
Yeah, they can all do it. It'll be fine.
So they'll be okay. It'll be fine. It's just sad. You don't want to see people get let go. Especially people that you like. Plus, it fucked up my fantasy team, which was rude. I had to replace people.
She got rid of her people. So it's great.
Get rid of them. I'm losing to the wheel.
You are. So
I had to do something.
You had to do something, and Tim is right there with you. But Tim, you had the luxury. You have the luxury of replacing people. Tim is kind of spoiler chat. Tim's probably not going to win fantasy.
How fucked is he?
He has Brock Lesnar.
Oh no.
He has Bianca Belair.
Oh no.
He is AJ Lee, who's taking the summer off so far.
Oh no.
And he can't replace a single one of them.
Oh, Tim. Oh, that sucks. I'm so sorry, Tim.
Anyway, what else is in the news? We have a PLA to get to as well.
We do. AEW ROH news. Forbidden Door is coming to San Jose on Sunday, June 28th. So tickets will be available soon. Go check it out.
Go check it out. A quick note on that, because this is a TNA note of it. TNA moved up Slammiversary to 3 p.m. on that Sunday because they would have been competing against Forbidden Door.
There you go. Happy TNA news. ODB is headed into the TNA Hall of Fame, so congratulations to her. Well deserved.
She was back barbecue. She was back wrestling a few weeks ago, and now she's going to the Hall of Fame.
Still one of the best wrestling weddings ever put on. Thank you very much. The acclaimed docuseries Dark Side of the Ring has set the premiere date for its 7th season at Vice TV. The new season will kick off on July 7th at 9 p.m. with 2 back-to-back episodes. The new episodes will then air weekly thereafter. The season will begin with a 3-part deep dive into TNA wrestling and co-founder and performer Jeff Jarrett. Additional episodes in season 7 will tell the stories of wrestlers like Paul Orndorff, Ray the Big Boss Man Trailer, and Missy Hyatt. There will also be episodes devoted to the infamous match between Necro Butcher and Samoa Joe, one-legged wrestler Zach Gowen and Rick Wilson, and exotic dancer who had a brief run as Ultimate Warrior knockoff, the Renegade.
The best tweet
that's a thing to be known for.
It is. The best tweet I saw today about this was, the only person alive that would be happy to have a Dark Side of the Ring is Jeff Jarrett. He's happy that he's going to get a 3-part docuseries about him.
The rise and fall of TNA.
Yep.
The multiple rises and falls of TNA. I mean, I guess if they're talking about you, it's good. I don't know. Hey, it's whatever floats his boat, you know? It's whatever makes him happy, because I have no idea on that one. But yeah, go check it out if you're interested. And with that, we're going to take a break, because there's no more news, right? Nobody got hurt? No.
No.
So when we come back...
I mean, people probably got hurt, but we weren't tracking them. So Brent escapes. Yeah.
Brent is free for a week. So when we come back, we are going to be doing our Backlash preview. So you're listening to The Rock right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTRLive? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. I mean Prime Gaming. Or maybe it's just Prime. It's the easiest way to support us for free.
This just into the CB Radio News Desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio News Desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you. Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed. Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheet. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post-show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what?
What they didn't like,
what?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Once Monday Night Raw ends.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Did you know you can use supported creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK. In the Fortnite item shop. That's a hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you are listening to The Rack Radio Show on Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. If you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you have a free sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little button down the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we are going to be talking about Backlash, which is going to be this weekend, namely May 9th, live from Tampa, Florida. On the ESPNs and the Netflixes and all the things. But guys, you have to watch because John Cena has an epic announcement.
It's the epic announcement. This groundbreaking, shaking the core of WWE forever. Yada, yada, yada. But yeah, the Backlash takes place live this Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Check your local time and availability in your area for when it airs. It'll be on the ESPN Unlimited plan here in the States, with the first hour airing on ESPN2 and Netflix internationally. The kickoff show begins at 4 p.m. Eastern.
Ding! And we have some not-so-backlashy backlash matches. Normally, it is a rehash of WrestleMania. That is not what we're getting. I think we're only getting one technical rehash.
We're getting one technical rehash from WrestleMania and one match based off an angle at WrestleMania.
Yes. So let's dive right into it and talk about it, because I'm actually curious about this first one. So we have Seth Rollins taking on Braun Breaker with Paul Heyman. And I just want to say this because I've held this back for weeks on the Raw post show because I wasn't sure if this was going to be like a permanent thing for Seth. But it seems like the all black look is a thing and that's what he's going with now. So Seth, for the purpose of science, can you please reference Dawn Breaker from Love and Deep Space? I just need to see something. Thank you. Anyway, let's talk about the match. This is a grudge match coming out of WrestleMania. We have Braun Breaker attack Seth Rollins, leave him laying, and they've been fighting with each other and yelling at each other ever since. And it's good to see Paul Heyman still being employed after Brock Lesnar left him.
If Braun Breaker doesn't win, what are they doing?
That's kind of what I'm thinking personally.
That said, Seth Rollins has been getting his ass kicked on television, so the character of Seth Rollins needs a W at some point. So would it surprise me to see him sneak out a win? No, it wouldn't surprise me. But I look at Braun Breaker and go, okay, they're pushing him to something, but that something isn't as clear as it was 6 months ago.
No, it's not.
His injury kind of came at the worst time. Like, he was in line for the WrestleMania push of a lifetime against Seth Rollins. This was supposed to be a WrestleMania match. He lost the championship match to CM Punk, but he was still, you know, you saw the trajectory. Then he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And in his path to be the main eventer is someone else.
Yep.
And that guy's over.
Yeah, he is.
So I don't know when Braun Breaker sniffs the title. And that's unfortunate.
Yeah, that's really bad for him. Because Oba's likely going to be in line for it for the summer. We'll likely take it through to at least Rumble or Mania, if not longer. So it could be a year before Braun even gets a sniff at the title.
Unless he moves.
Unless.
And he may have to move.
Braun?
Braun Breaker needs to move to SmackDown.
I mean, it's plausible.
Put him... The unfortunate part is that he's... the guy they need to push, but there are a bunch of guys they're going to push before him.
Yep.
And because they set up the big mega match where they go Punk and Cody, that smells like SummerSlam.
Yeah, that does smell like SummerSlam.
I don't know what you're doing with Braun Breaker. And I don't think Oba is the guy at SummerSlam. He could be, but I think they're going to try to play the long game. Roman and Oba, maybe, depending on Roman Reigns, what they want to do with him. But I would earmark Oba for Roman at SummerSlam. But that may be too soon. Maybe you do Roman and Braun Breaker and then Oba beats Braun Breaker. But if you play your cards, that would be your card to play. Braun Breaker's you build Braun Breaker up and then you Braun Oba Mania next year. But I think you have to capitalize on Oba now and ride it, because Oba is Goldberg.
Yeah.
Oba has all the momentum in the world. And WCW was smart, RIP Ted Turner, to capitalize on Goldberg when he got extremely hot and they pushed him to the moon and had him win championships on Nitro rather than pay-per-view. They built to big moments with Goldberg. They struck with when the iron was hot. WWE's biggest failure in the early 2010s was Ryback. Personality aside, they had a hit on their hand.
They did, yeah, and they stuck him against Punk in the fucking Eternal title run, and it was like, well, there goes that, and he never recovered.
He never recovered. With Oba now, he has all the momentum. Push it to the moon. You ride it till the wheels fall off, and I think Bron Breakker getting hurt kind of cost him.
Oh, I think it more than cost him. I think it wasn't kind of, it was completely cost him, because, like, he would essentially probably be getting up a spot right now, and that's not what has happened.
So bringing it back to the match, if you're going to keep the momentum going, Bron Breakker wins.
I think you're kind of having Seth a little lost, and he's trying to find his way, and that's what he's doing. And because we kind of saw that on Monday, where he's like disheveled and he doesn't know what's going on, and he's lost his group, and he sort of doesn't know what's happening around him. Nobody likes him, nobody trusts him. You know, we're kind of getting a reset of Seth Rollins and launch of a new character as he's coming out of sort of what he's been doing for the last few years. So I think the fact of him just getting beat down by Braun sort of helps continue him down that path. It's not ideal, but, like, as much as I love Seth, I feel like you have to sacrifice Seth for Braun here. You have to do it, because that's the only way you're going to rebuild Braun's momentum coming out of the injury. I can speak. That's the only way you're going to get it back, is to just start Braun off hot and then just push him to the moon.
So I'm going Bron Breakker.
I'm going Bron Breakker.
What does the 8-ball say?
8-ball, are you going to be nice to me tonight? So 8-ball, Braun? Oh, God damn it.
Wrestler 1.
Which one's Wrestler 1?
Wrestler 1 is Seth.
Okay, ask the 8-ball again. 8-ball.
Seth, don't count on it. So Bron Breakker.
There you go. Next.
Trick Williams in a return match as a champion will be, and Little Yachty will be there, is taking on one Sami Zayn. This is a singles match for the WWE United States Championship. As much as I love Sami, we don't think he's going to win, do we?
R.I.P. the Gingerbread Man. They're having a funeral tomorrow. Gingerbread Man. They're having a funeral tomorrow on SmackDown for Gingerbread Man. Excessive. I mean, you know, you say goodbye to Gingerbread Man. Anyway, yeah, Trick's retaining.
Like, you don't want to ruin Trick's momentum, not after you did everything, so, you know.
No, and you move it to, I would do Carmelo and Trick next.
Yeah. So, 8-ball, Trick, that looked good.
Wrestler 2.
So Wrestler Sammy. 2, so it's going Sammy. And here's where we might get a completion of a story, and we might not. Io Sky, who has been recently left by her wife, because her wife had to go to SmackDown, is taking on a newly single Asuka because, well, Kairi Sane got sent packing. This is a grudge match. These two have been friends. They have been enemies. They have been frenemies. They know each other very well. I expect this match to be spectacularly good. The feud's been excellent between them, especially with a babyface Io Sky and a heel Asuka. I don't know who I want to win, though. I feel like you almost have to give Io the win just to sort of restabilize her after the Rhea breakup.
If given time, this could be a really good match. I think Io wins, because at this stage in the game, Io's presence is more impactful than Asuka's.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when your Intercontinental Champion is a heel.
Mm-hmm.
Your Women's World Champion is a heel. So you have two potential spots for Io, the babyface, to go after. So I believe Io Sky wins just on that math alone.
Okay, well, I gotta go Io too. So, 8-ball, Io? It is certain.
Wrestler 2.
Oh, it's going Asuka. Okay. All right. This next one scares me. It's not for the reason you think. So The Miz and Kit Wilson are taking on Danhausen and a partner that is to be determined. I am terrified of who they're going to pick for Danhausen, or Danhausen's going to pick for himself.
It is Backlash, which means the best mystery partner of all time should appear. Do you know who it is?
Not John Cena.
God, because it was at Backlash when God teamed with Shawn Michaels to take on the McMahon.
Read the room. I don't think they're going to do that one.
Are you sure? Are you sure?
Fairly?
You never know. One.
You
never know. Anyway, it was sad. One, Danhausen was on ESPN doing highlights today. He did this the top three highlights on SportsCenter today and was doing very Danhausen things, and the anchors were like, what? It was tremendous. It all comes down to what Danhausen's partner is. This is a comedy story, so you wouldn't think his partner would be super serious, but who knows? It could be anybody. Who knows? Could be Pepsi Phil.
Could be.
He's not doing anything.
He's not.
Could be R-Truth.
Could be. That'd be the most crazy match ever.
Could be a cardboard cutout that just stands in the corner. All I know, Danhausen
wins. Yeah, Danhausen's gonna win.
That's all I got. Danhausen wins.
He has too much momentum. Danhausen has to win. So, 8-Ball, The Miz and Kit Wilson? You may rely on it.
Wrestler 1.
Danhausen. And last, but certainly not least, for the World Heavyweight Championship, we have Roman Reigns taking on Jacob Fatu in a very eerily similar situation to one we had 6 years ago, where he's going to give Jacob a chance. He's going to extend the olive branch. He's going to try to make his little cousin. We've all been down this road before, folks. We all know. Question is will there be shenanigans?
This is the one that this is intriguing. And it's based on what Roman Reigns is. What is Roman Reigns doing? Is Roman locked in long term? Or is Roman on his way out? As far as we know, he's booked to the end of May, because June is no longer an option, because he was not doing the Saudi pay-per-view, PLE. So they took him off TV, supposedly. It was a clerical mistake. But is there more to that story? Is there more to Roman Reigns in the WWE that we do not see?
Could be.
That puts it a little bit of doubt. Yeah, as cool as it would be for Jacob Fatu to be your World Heavyweight Champion a month after Roman wins it, I don't think it happened. But if it did, wouldn't it be something if the Usos turned on Roman and helped Jacob win? Imagine.
I mean, if they want to shake things up, if they want to shock people and they want to make Jacob, you put the title on him and you do it when people aren't going to be expecting it. Because here's the thing. Roman Reigns has one of the longest title reigns in the history of WWE. He was champion for literally 5 years, or something crazy like that. Nobody wants him to go that long again. And so I think giving him a short transitional champion type of reign would actually be really good. Because you're building Roman. Because here's the deal. If you have Roman win, right, and he retains and he moves on and Jacob, whatever happens with Jacob, right? What do you do with Jacob? Where do you go with Jacob? Do you reform the bloodline? Do you find him someone else to feud with? Does he go back to Roman? Like, what is the deal? Whereas I think if Jacob, like, upsets Roman, that changes the balance of everything. Because now it's essentially everybody's facing someone that they may or may not have faced before. You have a lot of really fresh feuds with Jacob as opposed to Roman, and you can have him take on a lot of different challengers. Like, you know, you have Braun waiting in the wings, you have Oba waiting in the wings, because I would almost hold Oba and Roman if you're gonna do it.
Yeah, that's SummerSlam WrestleMania level.
Yeah, and I don't think the title necessarily needs to be involved in that. It's fine if it is. There's no problem if it is.
No, but it like, should
I
be
would
for
almost
the,
like to that see would, that without that a would, title.
I that that Oba Roman should be for a title, and it should be the passing of the torch. That's what that should be. What do you do with Jacob is the question, right? If he loses, I think this is not a one-off. I think we're running this back in Italy.
Good.
I think this matchup ends with shenanigans that leads to an angle on Raw setting up Italy. Because I don't think you can do this one and done. I mean, you could.
You could.
But I think you can run this back. And if you are thinking, about changing the title, you do it in Italy at the end of the month, and you go from there. Because it's too soon to swap the belt, but Italy's not too soon. If there's stuff going on with Roman, whatever it may be, 6 weeks, 7 weeks in, you can change it, and then you figure out where you're going.
Yeah.
Because look at the first Steve Austin title reign. He dropped the belt 8 weeks in to Kane.
Yeah.
And his second title defense at the May pay-per-view had shenanigans. A lot of them had shenanigans. But I think Roman retains, but I don't know if it's clean.
I feel like it's not going to be, because you have to find a way to, like, number one, bring them forward into another match. Like, that has to happen. And number two, you have to run Jacob. If you're going to run Jacob and Roman back, you need to give them a way to get there relatively easy, because you have a tight turn on Italy. So I think them having shenanigans will be good, because you can kind of sort of like set all that up with Jacob, where, like, essentially echoing back to Jay, because that's essentially what they're doing, is they're doing the Jey feud. Is you have shenanigans with Roman. Jacob is like, hey, this is bullshit. And they try to run it back. And they go from there. So, yeah, I could see Roman winning with some level of shenanigans.
There will be controversy coming out of the finish.
Yeah.
Yeah, there should. Because if you have to build to another PLE in 3 weeks, that's what you do. You have a Saturday Night's main event, which they're not going to be on, but you still have to build to that as well. So,
yeah.
Anywho, who you got?
I want Jacob to win, but it's going to be Roman.
I'm going Roman as well. What about the 8-ball?
8-ball. Jacob? All signs point to yes.
Wrestler 3.
Yes! I got one.
Wrestler 1.
Roman Reigns. So congratulations. Well, no, because the 8-ball picked Jacob.
Yes.
So that does it for Backlash. So tune in and find out how we did on our picks next week, right?
Yes.
But you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. is another edition of CB Radio. Sunday night, they will review Backlash at 10 p.m. Eastern on Russell Talk Radio. Monday night is the Raw Potion. When Raw ends, we'll be allowed to talk all about it all May long. June's a different story. But all May long, we should be allowed to talk about it. And we'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to review Backlash right here on The Rack. It's at Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms. Wherever you get your podcast, search The Rack Radio Show. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com. It's Wild Talk Radio Network chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Game. It's not Twitch Prime. It's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use credit card Rock and Sock or
Lin's M Word.
In the Fortnite item store or Epic Game Store, when you buy Star Wars and the Moms of Disney, and that's the comedy, I don't know, animation.
I'm just gonna say this.
It's from
it's King of the Hill.
King of the Hill.
Bob's Burger
and American Dad. No.
Is it American Dad or is it something else?
I don't know. Whatever it is. I forget the names.
Peggy Hill in Fortnite fucking scares me. Because she means business. Like, you don't mess with Peggy.
Yeah. King of Family Guy. Family Guy.
Family That's Guy. One. Yeah, because it's Lois, right?
Yeah, that's who it was. It was Lois. Forgot who the third one was. She has boxing gloves.
Oh, Lord.
Anyway, you get all them because we're hashtag Epic Corner.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsward and LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Linsward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SimbleLinsward. And you can follow me on TikTok, Linsward0. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, head over to Matt's channel, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. Go like, subscribe, and tell him we said hi. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward, and you've been listening to The Rack. We will see you next week. Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.